Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Companion. My name is Zach.
And I'm David.
And, yeah, this is the internet's premier Star Trek fan podcast.
Yeah!
And, you know, people love listening to us because we have a good time here. We also have little flubs, like right now, where I'm adjusting the flag.
Little flubs and snafus.
And you know, we
zany moments.
We got a lot of fun stuff that we do here, and if you like the fun stuff,
We're fun guys.
You can send us an email at thestarcompanion@gmail.com. If you have fallen in love with us so much, and if you're wondering, my God, that comment about the puzzle guy, and they were foreshadowing the next episode they were going to record, wow, I want to give him a buck or two, you can at patreon.com/thestarcompanion.
Absolutely
what a,
brilliant.
What a sales pitch. You
what
know?
A pitch.
That's right. And
we predict here.
Yeah. That's weird. I was listening
back
a couple episodes ago, and I said, I really feel like Shran's coming back, and holy shit, Shran did come back.
Zachary, I called it Kirsten.
Yeah. You can listen to us on all major podcasting platforms. And what do we do here, David?
We review Star Trek episodes, Stardate by Stardate. Today, we continue our journey through the middle of Season 3 of Star Trek Enterprise.
That's right.
Today's episode is Episode 15. The name of the episode is Harbinger.
Harbinger. Stardate 12127.15.3.
We're back at it again with the Stardates, which I'm loving. I'm loving it.
Damn, Enterprise.
Back at it again. And you know who's back at it again this time? Our junior coxswain of the Enterprise, Mr. Charles Tucker III.
Charles Trip Tucker III.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
And episode begins with Mr. Charles Trip Tucker III.
Junior coxswain.
Junior coxswain.
Also chief engineer.
Chief engineer. Also Florida baby boy.
Florida baby boy and amateur neuropressure giver. Alleged slayer of you know what. yeah, I mean, he gets along with Floridians.
He does. The stumbler into female relations,
yeah,
if you will.
Yeah.
They don't... He doesn't seem to line any of them up. He just kind of stumbles. Oh, whammy. Looks like I've gotten myself into some female relations. Zach.
Well, that was unexpected.
Oh, the kiss?
Nice. You fell right into that one.
Consider this a warning.
For next time.
And so, you know, we get introduced to this hot Mako babe who we've never seen before.
It's like Mega Babe.
Mako Babe.
Swing. Right?
Swing.
That's what I think of when you said Mako Babe. Oh my god.
And it becomes apparent very quickly that old Trip has taken the Vulcan massage show on the road. And, that's right. Yeah,
this one was rated TBM, dude.
I saw that, yeah.
For gore and nudity.
And booty.
Booty.
Booty. Which we will get to momentarily. Meanwhile, back in the medical bay, Phlox
tells... There were really three plots in this one.
There were, yeah. there's a lot going on in this episode.
There's a lot of reciprocal writing as well.
Mm-hmm. I really liked this episode a lot.
Me too.
It was really, really... really well done, and they condensed a lot of plot into a otherwise throwaway episode. Mm-hmm. They're just traveling towards Red Giant.
You think, like, it's probably a long road that they're traveling, you know, getting from there to the Red Giant.
Yep. If the Enterprise is here and the Red Giant is there,
they're going from here to there. I just got faith that this is going to happen.
Yes. Look into your heart. They, like I was saying, Phlox is in the medical bay and he runs into to Paul and he says, T'Pol, I got a little proposition for you. It appears that your boyfriend, your temporary boyfriend, Charles Tripp Tucker III, is given Vulcan neuropressure in an amateur fashion to other people on board.
Uh-oh.
And I'm going to need you to tell him to cut it out, because otherwise this bitch is going to have headaches for the rest of her life, and he could possibly even sever her spinal cord.
Whoa.
We're talking about a Mako vegetable here.
Phlox is a Yenta, dude. I honestly think that she didn't really have headache. She either didn't have headaches, or he knew how to cure them. But use this moment to really push T'Pol to get with, you know, Trip, make her aware.
That's what I wrote. I said, Phlox a little freako. He's trying to hook Trip back up with the Vulcan poon. And he's trying to hook the Vulcan poon up with a scissor sesh.
Oh, that too.
And he just has that little, like, devilish grin. He's a fucking Yenta. Yeah, he is a Yenta.
He's a little matchmaker, dude.
I was looking I was looking for the word to describe him, and Yenta is just, it's perfect. As Zach mentioned, there's about three different plots going on here. So the first plot is Trip and T'Pol.
Yeah, Trip stumbling into love with two women.
With two women. Second plot, Malcolm Reed and the Makos.
Yeah.
Third plot, Archer and this guy that they pull out of the space bubble bath.
Okay. So that space bubble bath is one very active and biologic-looking convergence of spatial anomalies. I thought spatial anomalies weren't things that, like, we really saw. You just kind of felt them.
Right.
You know, and I don't have very many qualms with this show. But here's one of my qualms.
Yes.
They just let fucking spatial anomalies run over them like it's nothing.
Yeah.
And yet, there was that one episode where it, you know, basically doomed Earth. Mm-hmm. And they had to go, you know, eradicate stuff 18 years later to fix stuff in the present.
Yeah.
Those quantum fucking particles.
Yeah, yeah, no.
You know, and then you have the other guys who the breath mm-hmm. literally maims their skin.
Yes. Yes. And that is just Enterprise. This is a trope that we see a lot through Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
God, it's the plot of Undiscovered Country, where that ripple, that spatial anomaly ripple that leads to the Nexus.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's where he finds Kirk, and Kirk dies and all. I think that's Undiscovered
Kirk
Country.
Kirk dies?
Maybe that's not Undiscovered Country, but it's...
Isn't that Generations?
Generations, that's right. I always get that one wrong, but this is why you're here, is to correct me and discipline me later. The Mako and Reed subplot, Archer orders Reed to undergo mandatory Mako training, and all the security staff as well.
Yeah, they got to get a makeover.
They do. Zing. Yeehaw.
I hope you didn't have that one written down.
I did not.
Oh, okay.
That's why That's why I said zing. I was surprised by it.
Oh.
They, Reed doesn't take too kindly to this.
He's a touchy little man.
He is. It's,
and sorry, go ahead.
No, go for it.
If I may.
You may.
The sexual tension between that hot Mako and T'Pol and, you know, Charles Tripp Tucker III, our junior coxman and whatever the fuck else, chief engineer.
Yeah.
But there's some real tension between the Mako leader and Reed here.
There is, yeah.
You know, they got
homoerotic.
Yeah, you know, if they didn't beat each other, if they don't, either they're going to get it on or they're going to beat each other up.
They're either going to beat each other up or beat each other off.
Zing.
Zing. Yeehaw. later on in the episode,
we did the other plot.
I'm just gonna finish up Reed and Mako's
great
plot
idea
because it's.
I'll get buried in the in the weeds here.
So, they undergo several mandatory security training sessions, and Reed looks like a fucking fool.
Yeah,
Reed doesn't know how to shoot. As soon as the Mako guy said, "All right, fellas, we're gonna learn how to shoot today," and Reed. He's like, Reed, why don't you come up? I was like, this ain't going to be good. Reed is not the best shot on Enterprise.
Nope.
He's actually one of the worst shots. You remember that one episode?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, where they moved the city, Blazing Saddle style,
mm-hmm.
and then they had to shoot the thing in the ground, and he missed.
Yeah.
He's not a good shot. So that kind of culminates in this macho kind of Rocky versus Clubber Lang bout. Come here, woman.
Wow.
You ain't a real man. Remember that from Rocky?
I do, yeah. Okay.
What
was that, Rocky 12?
I think, no, that's Rocky 1 or 2.
Oh.
Yeah. Come here, woman.
You know, 1 and 2 together is 12. Sometimes it's just like Rocky 3. If you add them.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
That happens.
That's why you come here.
So.
Two zings and a miss.
That's... as far as we'll go with that plot line for now. Meanwhile, back in the other plot line, T'Pol and Trip.
Yeah.
Yes. So, so T'Pol and Trip have to be in on these security meetings as well. And during one of the security meetings, the major says, "All right, everybody, break off into pairs.
Pair up."
And you hear me from the corner saying, "I choose Hoshi."
I thought I did hear that.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was in her little workout gear.
She was. Trip gets into an aggressive little bout with the Mako, after which she slaps his ass, and T'Pol's eyes narrow. And
she sees with Pon Farr rage.
She does. She's foaming.
What? FOMOing.
FOMOing. T'Pol eventually confronts Trip and says, "Look, this acupressure thing, you're going to hurt this bitch. I got to do it. Me. It's mine. I'm the Vulcan, not you."
Oh.
"And also, come over later, because we're going
to
do a session.
We still need to do it."
And
neuropressure, that is.
She uses the old come around to mine for some corrective jacketless massage therapy trick with the Mako. Oh,
that's a good old one.
It's a good trick. as she's massaging this Mako lady, the Mako lady says, "He talks about his sister a lot. And about gators and cornbread."
Gators! Down on the bayou.
T'Pol is like, wow, they're really getting on. And you can tell it's really working on her. Really working on her. And eventually they have this culmination. They finally meet. And Reed's like, or Trip's like, "Are you jealous?" And she's like, "I'm not jealous. Are you jealous?" And he says, "No. That would mean I have to like you, and girls are yucky." And she says, "Yeah, boys are yucky too."
Wow. Yeah, well, I mean, I got a cootie shot from that Mako chick. So.
She pinched my arm, and then all of a sudden the cooties went away. So you got to do that too.
Yeah.
Because your cooties are different, because you're a Vulcan girl.
You have alien cooties.
Alien.
Don't get it twisted. I know you're, you know, you got a name like a Vulcan, but you're an alien. You are not terrestrial. You are extraterrestrial.
You're not. You bleed green every month. Instead of red. And at a certain point, T'Pol says enough of this, grabs him by the face, and just gives him one big old sloppy kiss. And then she proceeds to take off her nightgown and show us her booty.
You know, that scene, by the way, is edited out.
On TV?
Well, when it was airing.
Mm-hmm.
They edited that out.
Really?
But they didn't edit it out for Canada or, like, Europe.
Nice.
Or none of the streaming services.
Nice.
Yeah. America's very sexually confused.
Yeah, we are. We're very puritanical still in a lot of respects. But that's a different conversation. And finally, my boy did it.
Yeah.
Woo! Woo!
All right, Rick.
Woo! Woo!
Yeah.
He's a limousine riding, Vulcan laying, son of a gun.
Son of a gun.
Woo! Woo! Sister dying, cornbread eating,
crawdad loving, chief engineering,
gator wrestling,
junior coxman
in.
What?
But he did it.
He did do it.
He did it, big man.
Good for him.
Good for you. good for you.
Yeah. I certainly hope it doesn't continue.
Maybe. We'll see.
We will see.
In the meantime, we'll stop that plot line here.
Okay.
We'll move over to the third and probably the most important plot line of the episode, which involves Enterprise running into the aforementioned spatial anomaly blanket bubble bath.
Yeah.
And they deploy the...
Biologic bullshit.
So bullshit. They deploy the grapple hook and they grab this this ship out of the bubble bath because they notice there's a humanoid in it. And they bring it on board and there's a man inside of it.
And he goes, what the god dang, why you let me out of my ship? I was in there for a reason. What in tarnation? They call me Space Yosemite Sam.
Yeah, he comes out shooting his little six shooters.
Yeah.
And looking for Rabbit.
Except this time it's little fiber optic lights that he's connected to.
Yeah.
Because that says space to me.
That those room decorations you get from Spencer's. Dad, well, how does he look, Zach? What does his skin look like?
He looks like someone spilled a really hard puzzle, and they picked up only the yellow pieces.
That's really funny.
And just, like, glued him on there.
I liked that last episode when you said it looked like a puzzle piece head.
He did.
He did.
He
looks like a series of, like, layers of paint, you know? That, like,
set, yeah.
Yeah, he looks
did
like
a... Did it been in the rain and the sun a lot.
Yeah, like
it's
a Van...
Chipping.
Like a... chipping. Looks like a Van Gogh painting.
So, they're trying to deduce what the fuck this guy's about.
Mm-hmm.
And Dad tells to Paul, oh, maybe he's like a canary. And then goes into this diatribe about, you know, a canary in a mine. And
let me regale you with a story.
You know, and to Paul kind of understands about mining mm-hmm. and why you would need to find the oxygen. And she ends it with, what the hell is a canary? You know? He should have said bird.
Great Captain. Story, Captain.
Great story.
What is a canary?
Well,
it's a yellow bird to Paul, and, you know, birds fly into mines, and if they don't find oxygen, they come on right back out. And I tell you, them skags,
I'm going to call you a skag here at some point in the next few weeks.
At a certain point, this person that they rescue... suddenly discovers that he can go through walls. He chokes out flocks, and he goes wandering over to the engine room, and this is where all three of our stories combine.
What?
Trip, recently laid by T'Pol, his guard down, gets karate chopped by the interdimensional guy.
Uh-huh. And as the guy's coming up, you get a zoom in horror like up mm-hmm. to his face, and he fucking tries to square up on it because of all the Mako training.
I forgot about that. That was funny. That was a funny moment.
Yeah.
Reed and Mako Commander, fresh from their bloody bout, run over to the engineering room and find this guy ripping and roaring inside the engine, and they start shooting, and they can't shoot him. So that what do they got to do? They got to work together.
What?
Because that's what men do. You see, men, you know, the thing about guys is sometimes you just got to have a bare-knuckle fight to work out all that extra masculinity.
I get it.
But then a trans-dimensional being attacking your ship gets you back together, and you take him out like men, and afterwards you have a cold beer and shake your head about it and say, that's life, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, you know. And then they sit there, and as they're talking about life and drinking their beer, they think about how nice it would be to just go take a long bath in a lake.
Alpine lake.
Yeah, alpine lake, and find a mountain woman. Is that what you said?
Find a mountain woman.
As they sit in their Adirondack chairs, drinking sweet tea.
Sweet tea and tomatoes.
Tomatoes.
Eating tomatoes.
Making a Neapolitan with tomatoes.
The wood firing oven.
And space basil.
Space basil. And your,
and bunny corn.
Bunny corn and your wife, Deanna Troy hyphen Riker. They come up with a devilish plan to reverse the polarity, I guess, on the engine, and it shocks this transdimensional being, and he goes unconscious.
And this was a perfect moment for the Mako to go, well, you know, I know we do this fighting and stuff together, you know, and I may be better at that, but you sure do know a hell of a lot about this ship, and we couldn't have stopped him without your knowledge of the ship, so I'm not trying to take your job. You have your job because you know how to run this ship. I only know how to defend people.
I'm just saying you're a pussy. That's all I'm saying.
Look, you shot like shit.
You couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. And I know that's an archaic statement by now in the 25th century.
But we were just talking about canaries and miners because, you know, Picard still listens, you know, loves Shakespeare.
Yep.
And
listens to classical music and drinks Earl Grey tea.
Hot.
Hot. So this episode basically comes to a close with Dad yelling at Trip and Mako as little kids and says, I don't want anybody to blame it on anybody. Settle it! You remember?
Settle it! Yeah, that was the overacting moment. Archer's overacting moment of the night.
And then he runs out of the room because the transdimensional being is awake again. And he says, what was your mission? What are you doing? The transdimensional being shifts out through dimensions.
He phases.
And in one of the last scenes, Trip and T'Pol sit down in the cafe, and they have a little conversation. And T'Pol says, that was great. I wanted to always explore human sexuality. And Trip says, so what am I, some sort of lab rat? She says, I didn't quite say that. And Trip says, I'd appreciate it if you didn't tell the crew.
That's why we're having the conversation in the mess hall, in front of everybody.
In front of everybody, very loudly. And that's where the episode ends.
But also, the guy that phases out, he tells Dad.
What does he say? I didn't hear it.
Oh, no?
No.
Oh, well, he says, once the Zindi annihilate you know, I'll be able to.
Our species will thrive. That's right. So there are more than just humans and Zindis involved in this war.
Yeah. Because remember, there's still the inner space-time continuum.
Quantum.
No, there's a... I completely forgot about what it's called.
Cold War?
Yeah, the temporal Cold War. Mm-hmm. Thanks for that. Because that's still going on. And it's still,
it is.
You know, don't worry. At the end, when we get to that fourth season, you're going to go, that's right. Those filthy Suliban. They gotta come back. We gotta wrap this story up. So I have a few thoughts about this episode now that we've wrapped it up.
Go for it.
When they go into this biological whatever, right? All of a sudden, Travis goes. Well, the helm goes offline, and Travis goes, helm's back online, and then Dad says, "Get us out of here." To the room, not to Travis specifically. He says it as he's looking around.
There's some serious disrespect to Travis going on.
Absolutely. The character has completely fallen off the face of the earth.
Did you see later in the episode, too, where they're... actually, it may have been last episode. I don't remember. Travis is in a room with T'Pol, and Dad walks in. And Travis is like, hey, we got that thing up and going. Yeah. And Dad's like, great. And Travis just walks out. I think it might have been last episode.
I think it was, yeah.
But, this character is just gone.
Yeah, that's a lot of people's gripe. One of their gripes about this show.
Hoshi, too, for a large part. She got a lot of service early in the first couple seasons. But so did Travis.
This basically turns into Dad torturing people to get to the end of the arc. He's going to get what he wants.
He will.
So, and to that end, like I had predicted in that last episode, God, Archer is just torturing everybody.
He is.
You know, he 100%. Needs answers, dude.
He's keeping this guy alive when he doesn't want to be alive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and...
You're so right. You're so right.
Last week, you were eaten in the mess hall, and yesterday, she touched your behind. And then,
Oh, that's Reed?
Well, no, that was to Paul. She said...
Oh, that's right. That's
behind,
right.
You know?
Touched your behind.
And then, another thing that I have here is... Oh, God damn it. Oh, okay. So... As Amanda, the hot Mako girl, who I just found out her name because I have it in my notes.
Amanda Cole.
She is telling to Paul during their neuropressure thing that they have a lot in common.
They do.
They even grew up 50 kilometers distance from each other.
Mm-hmm.
And yet they went to the same fucking movie theaters.
That's a long ways.
And their
ways.
High schools were rivals?
That's a long ways to view.
Keep in mind, this is what? Over 150 years from now?
Yeah.
Okay, or just thereabouts? We have 7 billion people on this planet right now.
I see you say rivals in it, even in a post-7 billion people world.
You mean to tell me there's a spot in Florida where there's 50-kilometer gap between the school districts?
And your rivals?
And yet your rivals and go to the same, what, soda joint? What kind of fucking nonsense is that?
The same pharmacies where they have the carbonated water and the syrup.
Killing me inside. No way you guys know each other. That's not close.
Fucking soda joints.
You get the same pizza delivered? No fucking way.
Yeah, all of our rivals in high school were like right next to us.
Yes.
Like one city away, like 2 miles.
At most.
Yeah. But kilometers in miles is 50 kilometers in miles is probably about 3 miles.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
That's Star Trek math for you. Anyway, that's if you, all I got.
If you liked what you heard, follow us on whatever podcasting platform you use.
Nice.
And keep following us because we
love you guys.
Yeah, we do. And we hope you love this as well.
Yes. And send us some notes. We love you guys.
Yeah. Let us know how we're doing. Or let us know what you think. Or send us pictures of you. We got a picture from one of our listeners a while back. Name was Alexis Stahl. And that was a great picture.
That was fun.
It was a wonderful picture.
And Dorians!
You know, just to know that, you know, eventually we will move into more mainstream versions of Trek. You know, like TNG, TOS.
Mm-hmm.
But even at this level, you know, it's nice to know that there's someone in, what was it, Indiana?
Yeah. She's from Indiana.
That dresses up in a Star Trek Enterprise jumpsuit with Andorian ears.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. Just
that's,
awesome.
That's cool.
Yeah.
If you have any cool pictures like that, send it to us. We won't post them unless you want us to.
Yeah, no, I mean, and again, it's like, this is, you know, we're your family.
Yeah.
You're our family. This is a safe space.
Mm-hmm. And we won't treat you the way that Dad treats Travis.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.